I'd like you to turn with me this morning to the book of Numbers and chapter 10. And our text this morning, thinking of the new year, it will be found in verse 33. They departed from the mount of the Lord 3 days' journey, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord went before them. He goes before us. What a comfort. What a truth to think of this morning. We have a year ahead of us. We come to a new year. None of us know what this year will hold. It may be times of great joy, times of great blessing, success, increase. It may be times of trial, times of sickness, times of loss and separation, times of great anguish, nights spent in hospital, nights spent away for various reasons. Do you know, none of us knew 2 years ago what the next 2 years would hold. Speaking very personally, it marks almost 2 years since I came here as the pastor and was called to minister here. If you had told me what lied ahead, I might not have come. If you had told me the difficulties of COVID and 2 years of lockdown and not being able to see and visit and spend time and get to know the people, oh, I might not have come. But we can say, I'm sure, all of us, that when we look back, everything has turned out for our good. We didn't know it. Maybe it didn't seem it at the time, but it's turned out for our God and for our good. For our God knows what is good. Sure, all of you can look back on your lives and you can see things you didn't want to happen. Great, great sadness. But God was dealing with us. He was dealing with us through the difficult days. We would not have chosen it, but God knew it was for good. It's given us more gratitude, more thankfulness. That's our great problem, isn't it? Sometimes we're unthankful. We're full of ingratitude. We have a lovely hymn. We sometimes sing it, "More gratitude give me." Isn't that what we need to pray this year? More thankfulness to God. Well, the difficulties the last 2 years has made us more thankful, I trust and hope, for what we do have, for the blessings, for the comforts. It's made us, I hope, more dependent upon Him. I hope it's deepened faith. For those of us who are in the faith, it's given us more trust, more conviction in the sovereignty of God. God who is in charge, sovereign, the ruler of all the skies. William Cowper, writing not so very far from here in Olney, said these words, "Deep in unfathomable minds." The deep things of God, deep in unfathomable minds of never failing skill, He treasures up His bright designs and works His sovereign will. Oh, isn't that true? We didn't understand it at the time. These things were deep, unfathomable. But God's never-failing skill was able to put together the difficulties, the trials, the hardships, the joys, the successes of life. And He designed them for our good in His sovereign will. Well, I want us to look this morning at a wonderful picture, one of the wonderful types, a picture. We call them types, figures, emblems, signs, call it what you will, of the life of the Christian church and of every true believer. We have it here in the book of Numbers, the children of Israel and their journeyings through the wilderness. Again, how often our hymns, they speak just to what we're going to consider. God has a wonderful way of weaving these things together. My times are in thy hand. My God, I wish them there. My life, my friends, my soul I cleave entirely to thy care. Well, let's look at the children of Israel as they journey. You all know, everybody knows, 40 years from the wilderness, Mount Sinai, until they come to Canaan. And here we have a journey of 38 years from Sinai to the plains of Moab, or as it's called, Paran. Why did it take so long? 40 years. Do you know why? Unbelief. They didn't believe the word of God. They didn't believe that God would provide every day. They didn't believe his promises. They didn't believe his provision. They doubted, they murmured, they questioned. And we're just like that. That's why it took so long. They had to learn the lessons. And so many of them that put foot from Sinai on the first day, as we shall consider, they never made it to the promised land because they disbelieved, they doubted, and they murmured and they complained, and they were full of unbelief. Is that true of us? Well, the book of Numbers is not just a book of accurate history. It parallels Christian living in so many ways. As believers, so many of us, we resemble the Israelites in all these ways, backsliding, disbelieving. Can I try and save you and me from pain this year? Is there someone here and you will doubt? You will go into a downer, as they call it. You'll go into a week and a month where you don't pray. And you don't read God's word, and you don't believe the promises of God. And so you will go down and down and down until the Lord in his mercy has to come and find you and lift you up. Save yourself from days and weeks of pain. And let's learn the lessons before you set out on another year. Could this year be a year where our faith is bright, our trust is strong, where we don't skip the means of grace, where we don't cut short our prayer, where we don't leave the house without committing our journey to God? Let's come and look out. Our first heading this morning, setting out on the journey of faith. If you go back in Numbers chapter 10, the first 10 chapters are all preparation. They've not put one foot forward yet. God is giving them instructions. He's showing them what to do. He's showing them the order that they're to travel. And he's putting everything in its right place. Numbers chapter 10, verse 11. If you have a Bible, just look at this verse. And it came to pass, on the 20th day of the second month in the second year. A year has gone by. They've not traveled yet. They're still at Mount Sinai, the place where God's law was given. God is a God of order. He doesn't just say, rush ahead. Go on, just go as you please. No, he puts everything in an order. We won't look at the verses, but before they can travel, there's to be a census. Moses says, I want one man from each tribe and we're to count the names. 603,550 men. That was the way they counted in those days. How many were there? 3 million? 2.5 million? Something like that. They knew how many on that day were going to make the journey. They knew how many in each tribe. God had planned it. And he says to them, you don't need to turn to it, Numbers chapter 2, I want this tribe to go first, the tribe of Judah. There's a lesson in that. Who came from the tribe of Judah? Christ. Christ and the tribe of Judah were to be at the front. And there's an order. It's God's way. You see, everything is ordered in the church of Jesus Christ. The children of Israel, the journey they're going to take is a picture. It's a parallel of the journey that we're going to take this year as a church, as a people. And so the Lord says, you're to leave 20th day, the second month, the second year. What's to happen? The cloud, the presence of God that sits above the tabernacle, it's going to move. It's going to go ahead of them. They couldn't move until the tabernacle had been taken down. There was a special way that that was to happen. One tribe was to do this, the priests were to do that. There's an order. Things don't happen in the church because somebody's had a good idea. No, there's an order. It's a led church. Moses prefiguring Christ, a leader in each tribe. Each tribe may be picturing an individual church. Each tribe led. The numbers of the names numbered, counted. You see the order, the pattern, the structure. They're going to set out on their journey. Well, before they can leave, something vital must happen. Turn back to chapter 9 and verses 10 and 11. This is the Lord speaking. And he says to Moses, Numbers chapter 9, perhaps we'll read from verse 9. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if any man of you or of your posterity, your family, your children, shall be unclean by reason of a dead body or be in a journey afar off, yet he shall keep the Passover unto the Lord. The 14th day of the second month at even they shall keep it and eat with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. 6 days before the Passover's been kept. What does this mean? Before you go on your journey this year, you've got to be right with God. You've got to have kept Passover. I don't mean an elaborate ceremony. The way we keep Passover is we go to the cross. We go to Jesus Christ. We go to his death, his perfect righteousness, his shed blood. If you're to go forward this year, if you want to travel with us, the church, you've got to be right with God. Is there anybody here this morning? You're not right with God. Why are you not right with God? Is there some sin in your life that's unconfessed, not acknowledged? You've not gone on your knees and prayed to God and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. How can you expect God's help and blessing in the year that lies ahead? If you've still got sin in your pockets, in your handbag, you're carrying baggage through life, unconfessed sin, sin in the family, sin in the marriage, sin in the workplace, sin at school. Why does the Lord call Moses 6 days before Passover is to be kept? There's a timeless lesson here. If you want God's blessing in your life, I'm sure you do. You don't want God's curse. You don't want God's judgment. You want his smile upon your life. If you want that smile, here's the rule. You need forgiveness. If you want forgiveness, you've got to get right with your God. You've got to go to Calvary. You've got to go to the Passover Lamb. You've got to have that sin washed and cleansed. You've got to go to Calvary, the first Sunday of a new year. You've got to go to the cross. If you set out on that journey unwashed, unclean, it's as though there's a dead body and you've been contaminated with a dead body. It's as though you've been traveling into another country. You've not come to the means of grace. You've got to come to this place. It's not a building. This church, when it meets together, isn't about a building. It's about the means of grace. The means of grace to us are the cross and Calvary and prayer and God's presence and when we come before him. So that's the first lesson. This will be a journey of faith. The only people that can go on this journey, spiritually speaking, oh yes, I know, the children of Israel was a mixed multitude. There was believers and unbelievers. There was idolaters and those that worship God. But the church of Jesus Christ is to be a pure church. We do everything we can to keep unbelievers out of the membership. We want people that have named the name of Christ, people that love the Passover Lamb, people that are right with God and have confessed their sin. It's a journey of faith. It's an organized journey. It's an ordered journey. And the tribe of Judah is to go first there to lead the way. Look down in verse 14. Numbers chapter 10. In the first place went the standard of the camp of the children of Judah. You think this is just a list of names? You think this is just a random list of all the names of the tribes? No, no, no. Every verse in the Word of God is there for a purpose. Judah, you go first. Christ comes first. When we're marching to Zion, when we're going to the promised land, Christ leads the way. Christ pictured in the tribe of Judah. Well, that's the first heading, setting out on the journey of faith. I want to go down to verse 29. We see something I've never seen before until I was studying it this week. Verse 29, I just read it again. And Moses said unto Hobab, the son of Raguel, the Midianite, the second heading, breaking with the past. Hobab. Does anybody know about Hobab? I didn't. He probably was not the father-in-law of Moses. It's much more likely he was the brother-in-law. The word in the Hebrew means a relative through marriage. So it could be the father-in-law, but more likely, because he made the whole journey, it was his brother-in-law. It doesn't much matter. What's clear is he was a relative through marriage. So Moses speaks to him. This is what he says. We're making a journey. We're making a journey to the promised land, which the Lord said, I will give it to you. We're going to Canaan. Moses didn't know how long it would take. Perhaps he thought it would be a year or two. Little did he know it would be 40 years. And he says this, "Come thou with us." Oh, I think this is wonderful. Hobab, come thou with us. We know he was an Arab. He was a Bedouin. He was a nomadic man. He traveled. How do I know that? But if you look down at verse 31, he says, "You can be our eyes." What does he mean? Hobab, you know where the wells are. You know where the oases are. You know where the mountains are. You know these parts. You can be like eyes to us. You can guide us. You can lead us. Is Moses showing a lack of faith? The Lord has said the cloud will lift from where the tabernacle was and it will go ahead of them. The cloud, then the Ark of the Covenant, and then Judah. No, I don't think Moses is showing a lack of faith. We see here wonderfully Moses saying God will guide us, but we're not to forsake earthly human instrumentality. If you've got knowledge, if you've got the opportunity to use skills, you are to use them. Hobab, come with us. I think Hobab was an unbeliever. He was an Arab. But Moses was witnessing to this man. He says, "Come thou with us. We will do thee good." Isn't that what we say to unbelievers? We say, "Come with us. Come to the church. Our God. And we will do you good. We'll care for you. You can come among our number. For the Lord God," verse 29, "hath spoken good concerning Israel." He's made us a promise. He said to us, "I'll look after you, I'll care for you, I'll provide for you. There's a promised land, it's flowing with milk and honey. And if you come with us on the journey, God will do us good." He's made a promise to us. The same promise he's made to us, he'll make to you. What does Hobab say? "I will not go." Oh dear. Hobab, you want to stay as a traveler, wandering around in the desert with no family, with no identity, not belonging. You want to stay with your idols. You want to stay with no help of God. You want to be alone. Oh, Hobab. Moses pleads with him. He tries again. He says, verse 31, "Leave us not." You see, he's been with them for a few days. "I pray, I beg thee, as thou knowest," you know how we're going to travel in a tent through the wilderness, "you can help us." He's not compromising. He's saying, "You throw your lot in with us. You know what we're like. We're transparent people. We're serving the high and holy God of Israel. We're making a journey. We're traveling from time to eternity. We've left the world. We're traveling by faith. We don't know. How is God going to feed 2.5 million people in the wilderness? I don't know. He will. He said he will. What about our shoes? There's no Clarks or shoe shop. There's no Tesco delivery. How's God going to do it? I don't know. What happens when we're sick? Bitten by a snake? There's no hospital. Oh, God will provide. Just look at the brass serpent. Just look and live. God will provide. Moses says to Hobab, "Come thou with us." Now, my friends, this morning, Can I speak to somebody here? I don't know who you are, but may the Spirit of God speak to you. You're with us, but you're not with us. You've been traveling, but you're not part of us. You see, there's two groups here this morning. There's the congregation, and there's the family. Those who've said, I'm with you. I'm going on that journey. I believe the word of God. I believe the promises of God. I believe that when God says he'll do us good, he'll do us good. And I don't need anything else. What does Hobab say? He says, I will not go. Verse 30. I will depart. I'll go to my own land. I'll go to my own family. I'll go with the Arabs. I'll travel around the desert, wandering here, wandering there. No home, no family, no God, no word of God, no promises, no Passover, no forgiveness of sin, no friend in heaven, no help in time of need. Is that what you want? I'm going to go to my friends. I'm going to go to my own land. I like it there. Come with us. Hobab, come with us. Throw your lot in with us. I don't mean join the club. I'm not talking about. I'm not here to recruit people to a club. I'm here to tell you the word of God. And the word of God says to us today, come with us. You're not part of us yet. Come with us. The Lord will do us good. And what he's said to us, he'll say to you. Come and join with us. Travel on the journey. It will be a journey of faith. Break with the past, Hobab. Well, did he? You don't need to turn to it. In the book of Judges, chapter 1 and verse 16, we find out that his relatives have married and joined with the children of Israel. Evidently, Hobab, having said no, having waited, having delayed, having excused, he followed them. He went with them. He was their eyes. He was their ears. He gave all his skills. He gave all his knowledge. He joined the church. Isn't that what God wants us to do? He doesn't want us to travel around as not belonging anywhere, of no fixed abode. He wants us to be with the people of God. He wants us to be strong. He wants in time of weakness other people to care for you. He wants you to care for others. He wants you to journey by faith to the promised land. Is there somebody here? Are there several people here? And you're on the side. You're hedging your bets. You're waiting. Maybe you're waiting for a flash in the sky. Hobab doesn't need that. He needs Moses to say to him, come with us. And he obeyed. He brought his family and they made the journey. We find that through Judges, several places in the book of Judges. So he breaks with the past. Can I encourage you to do that this morning? Don't carry on as you've been. May this be a year of dedication, a year of consecration, a year, dare I say, of commitment. The God who has given you everything, and he desires that you will join with the people of God and travel and journey with them. You don't need to depart. Come with us. Join with us. Don't say, I will not go. Don't say, I prefer my own things. I like being with my own people. No, be persuaded. Well, let's come to our third and final heading this morning. He goes before us. Verse 33. 10 chapters of preparation. They've kept the Passover. They've held the census. Hobab has been pleaded with. I don't know whether he was the compass. I'm sure he was. He told them where the dangers were. They trusted by faith in the cloud and the fire by night. But Hobab, I'm sure, helps Moses. In verse 33, they depart. Do you know they had to start from Sinai? Every journey starts with the law of God. If there's a young person here this morning, you've not felt your sin, you've not been convicted, you don't feel the guilt of having broken God's laws, you need to start at Sinai. That's where the journey begins. That's where God would have you feel your sin, feel your guilt. And so they start from Sinai. 3 days' journey. Now we don't know for sure. Did they not go to sleep for 2 nights? I think that's unlikely. I think there would have been pauses in the first 3 days' journey of 40 years, but evidently the ark was packed up carefully. The cloudy pillar went ahead of them. In the blue, scorching sky, the cloud would provide protection. It would cast a shadow over all the tribes, 2 million, 3 million people, and they were protected from the heat of the day. David in the Psalms takes up this wonderful picture of how the Lord protected his people. Well, there's a type here. This is one of the many types. We have the tree of life, speaking of Christ. We have the burning bush, speaking of Christ. We have the brazen serpent. But here we have the pillar of cloud. I want to tell you briefly 7 features of this cloud. It was supernatural in a bright blue sky. One cloud hanging above them, signifying the presence of God, God's intervention. This wasn't nature, it wasn't natural, it was supernatural. It was of God to guide them. God guides us supernaturally. He intends and superintends in our lives to guide us, to lead us. And he'll do that this year. He did it last year. He did it the year before. He'll do it again. Secondly, this cloud was the way of God communicating with his people. He didn't speak often in an audible voice, but the cloud showed them, move this way. Go over this hill. Go towards this oasis, and there will be water there, and God will provide. God was communicating. It was a silent form of communication, but nevertheless, God was there. Thirdly, it reminded them of his presence. They were in the wilderness. It was a dangerous place. The Arabs, Hobab's family and relatives, could have come and ambushed them, but they didn't, because God was there. He was protecting them from the sun's rays, protecting them from danger. Well, his presence, his protection, the fourth one, the fifth one, the guidance, we've touched on that, showing them which way to turn. But you know, as they looked up into that sky, that huge pillar of cloud, how majestic it must have been. I don't think it was a dark cloud. I think it was a huge cloud. Fluffy and white is the way I imagine it. I don't know. Majestic. Enormous. telling them of the majesty of God. It must have been not just a small cotton wool cloud, but something that 2 to 3 million people could see. God supernaturally intervening, God communicating, God's presence, his protection, his guidance, his majesty. There was one more thing. It reminded them of his love. There would be difficult times ahead. They would doubt, they would complain, they would murmur, they would backslide. But God was there in the fire by night, in the cloud by day, God's presence, reminder. I'm with you. I'm with you always. I won't leave you. I won't forsake you. I'm always there. My love as a reminder. Oh, what a blessing this is. God goes before us into this new year. I don't know what will happen. Some people had bad news last year. But God was with them. God was helping them. God was giving his presence, his protection, his promises. If that happens to you this year, don't fall to pieces. Don't go into a downer. Don't say, my friends let me down, my family's let me down, my boss at work has been unreasonable. God is with you. God is there. God is helping you. And when you're with the people of God and you've joined with them, we'll be there. We'll be there to care for you, to come alongside you, to visit, to show Christian kindness, because that's the way God's planned it. We're traveling together by faith. God go before us. God go behind us. God go with us. On that journey through life, I wanted to come to the final verses, two prayers of Moses. I think we'll look at that this coming Thursday in the Bible study. Two prayers that Moses makes, asking for God's help at the beginning of the day and at the end of the day. Well, maybe we'll look at that this coming Thursday. May God go with us. And before us in the year ahead, these wonderful things giving us the lessons, the journey of faith, it starts at Sinai. We've got to break with the past. We've got to leave behind everything that's been stopping us. We've got to put our faith and trust, not in me, not in the church, but in God and his word, that he'll be true and faithful. And we're reminded that God goes before us. This is not really a journey of faith. The things that we have to trust, they're proven. They've been evidenced again and again and again. It's not really faith. We know it in our minds. We've experienced it. And so we can put simple faith in God, and we can go with him on the journey that he calls us to. Let's go forward this year in full confidence that God will go.